Very thankful this morning for the Bible way that God has given to us to know how to live our lives. We ask the question, why do you live like you live? Why do you do what you do? Why do you not do the things that you don't do? Now, in light of that question, this third verse that we resung said, no human creed or church will answer in that day. Now, is that talking about everybody else except us? No human creed or church will answer in that day when God each heart will search, then choose whose way? His way. Jesus Christ is the Word. Christ is the Word. Then He gave us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God gave us the Scripture, which is an expression of the Word of God. And He gave us that Scripture that was divinely inspired, that has proven itself through time, that by that Scripture, that we would have a roadmap to know what God's way is, because, and this is a little summary, but as we acknowledge that there is a God, it brings about responsibility on us. And then how are we supposed to know how to serve this God and what we're supposed to do? Through Jesus Christ, and then through the Scripture, which is the roadmap for us to have knowledge of God's way. So we're going to continue with this series of Foundation of Truth, and the particular topic or subject of this morning is going to be the whole truth. In a court of law, when there is going to be a witness and they have to swear an oath or a promise or affirm, they make an affirmation that they will tell the whole truth and what? And nothing but the truth. In other words, they're making a promise or declaration that they're going to tell the complete or the fullness of the truth. Because what happens if someone tells just a partial truth? Is a partial truth really the truth? You see, there is more danger this morning in partial truth than just an out-and-out 100% falsehood. You realize that? Because when someone begins to have a pattern of just saying things that aren't true, they get a reputation. If they say it, you know, they're lying. There are some people that about everything that comes out of their mouth, you can just be assured that it's not the case. They're liars. And so then, that because you can recognize that then. So if someone gets up and is a witness of something, and there's nothing to measure the veracity of what they're saying to affirm that it's truth. They're just telling lies. So then if they tell all lies, you say, okay, it's not right. But where the danger is when someone is a witness and they tell part of the truth, they tell enough truth to make people think that everything that they're saying is true. Because I know A, B, and C is true, and we can test it, and we can go out and examine, and we have evidence that A, B, and C are true. So then surely D is true as well. You know, there's 4 points that the witness made. We can test and examine and find the evidence for the first 3 things. And so this is a truthful witness. But if they lie on the last point, that what they are saying is more dangerous than someone that just gets up and everything they say is false. So do you understand that? You understand the relevance of that? Jesus said in the book of John in the 8th chapter in the 32nd verse, John 8:32, then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Okay, we're going to do that one more time. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall... It's going to set you free, right? Now, what is it that sets us free? It's truth. So we're talking about the foundation of something that should bring liberty and deliverance. Where you find people purporting something to be truth, and it just brings bondage, you can know that's not the truth. All right? Jesus came and brought a truth, and truth sets free. Truth brings deliverance. But the question then is that arises when I consider that is, what truth will set us free? Which truth? In the scripture, we say, which truth then? What part of this scripture, what part of truth is going to set us free? The whole truth. Do you realize that if we take a part of the scripture, we're not going to find freedom? We're not going to find the balance and reality of God's way, because we're either going to be leaving some of it out, or we're going to be putting in our own informed, wise decision and put that on the same plane as scripture. When we add to or take away from the scripture, we are not having the whole truth. Is there anybody here that is not convinced in your, that your opinions are pretty valuable? We can talk about religion and politics now. Who of us here does not place value on our opinions? Do you realize God gave us, I said this the other day, and please understand what I'm saying. God gave us a brain, and He wants us to use it. Saints of God are not to check their brains at the door of the chapel. Understand this. There are some people that get this thing that, well, I don't understand any of it. Like, I'm going to check my brain out, and I'm just going to follow some form because this is the way grandma did it. Folks, that does not bring deliverance. The Lord gave us a mind to use. But as I use my mind, I have to be sure that the things that I'm thinking and the way that I'm living is being founded on what the Bible says, and it's the whole truth, in that I am not being guilty of taking away from it or adding to it with my own thinking. So when my thinking is contrary to what the scripture teaches, or I'm just enhancing the scripture. God never called me to enhance the scripture. Did He you? This is a closed canon. God did not call us to enhance it. He called us to live it. He called us to study it. He called us to be conformed, not to the world, but to His will. And the scripture is an expression of the will of God. So when we talk about truth setting us free this morning, we want to understand it is going to be the whole truth, not a partial truth. You remember how the Titanic was marketed when it was built? Unsinkable. The Titanic is unsinkable. Isn't that, that's a good marketing thing. I mean, that sounds really nice, doesn't it? And so then they market it as unsinkable, and as you all know the story, that was really a partial truth. Was it not? There were compartments in there that were new and innovated. The engineering that went into it was better than what they had had. It was built in a way that was supposed to withstand a lot more than regular ships had withstood. That was true. It was strong. There were elements, there were watertight compartments, but it had been exaggerated. And so then this partial truth led to overconfidence. It led to overconfidence. And so then when the warnings went out that there were icebergs, what do you think if it's unsinkable? It's like, it's not going to fit. We're good. We're on an unsinkable ship. And so due diligence was not given. Now think spiritually. Due diligence was not given. And then when they hit the iceberg and the ship was going down, what was lacking on the ship? Lifeboats. They didn't have enough lifeboats for everybody. Because why do you need to put lifeboats on an unsinkable ship? And there were over 1,500 people that lost their lives because of that. There was a consequence, wasn't there? There's a consequence. Saints, this morning, there is a consequence to not teaching preaching and living the whole truth. I can find my confidence in partial truth. Now, I'm going to just preach to you all as home folks, okay? So in every group of people, in every fellowship, there are going to be norms that are established. Many, some of them good, some groups not. There are going to be standards, and we may talk more about this in another message. There can be standards, there can be traditions, and what is the place of that as it relates to the whole truth? And the foundation of that is not for this morning. But to understand that there can be things in a body of people, especially in a lot of groups, outward observances. If I dress a certain way, I've got the truth. I've got the truth. Because they've measured to an outward standard. The scriptural standard of outward appearance is modesty. That is the doctrine. Okay? We're going to start getting into another message if I keep going too much down that road. The doctrine is modesty. But if I measure things by the outside, people, we can all come in and measure to this outward standard that is in conformity with the Bible doctrine. And we can say, okay, we've got the truth because we dress this way and I don't go there and I don't do that. And so we're just good saints. But someone can be unforgiving. Someone can be carnal in their attitudes. Someone can be, but I've got the truth because I dress modestly and I don't do that. And I don't have this in my home. I could be real specific. I will. Some people say, well, I dress, my sleeves are down to my wrist, and I don't have a TV, and I don't go to doctors. Really? We can talk about that one another time. But there are people in their minds that get this, and to them, if I don't do this, then I'm living the truth. Folks, I want us to understand something this morning. God has called us to walk the whole truth. The doctrine is modesty. The doctrine is place your faith in God. I want to tell you this though. You sisters, if your husband tomorrow morning says, I have faith in God and I'm going to sit on the couch because God's going to provide for me, I would encourage you to tell him to go to work. Have faith in God, but go to work. Understand the point. But we can do things and develop a mentality that we've got truth because I do this and this. But what about the whole truth this morning? It does great damage to the saints when someone has adhered to a good outward experience and yet you can't hardly work with them because they're so hard to get along with. And they're in the way that they talk, in the things that they do, in the way they treat people, in the carnality, but they look a certain way and we are part of the church of God. And then our young people that are growing up, this is reality, this is home folks, they see people like that and they say, well, why act like that? Why dress that way? And why not do this? Because look at how they act. I don't want to throw anything that's true out. Just because someone has done something right in their carnal doesn't mean throw out everything they do. And just the other side of that is that I've met some of the sweetest people that have the Spirit of Christ that have some areas that they're lacking in some outward things according to Scripture. So where's the truth? What part are we going to throw out? None of it. So if you see someone that dressed modestly and is hard to get along with, recognize they need the Lord in their life. They need grace because just dressing a certain way does not reconcile us with God, folks. But we need the whole truth. I want the whole truth. There are people who can take the doctrine of baptism. We believe in full immersion baptism. Is that a Bible doctrine? I never read about sprinkling in the Scripture. I never read about pouring in the Scripture. John baptized where there was much water. I want to do it the Bible way. But if they might say, but we teach baptism, and you can go out and live however you want, but you better believe in full immersion baptism. There are groups like that. There are groups that have a lot of truth. Partial truth. So what about us? Folks, the whole truth is what brings deliverance. If truth is bringing bondage in your life, you either don't have the truth, or you've added to it, or taken away from it, or you just need a heart renovation and a heart change by the Holy Spirit. Truth brings deliverance. Truth brings happiness. Truth brings victory. And there's a consequence to partial truth. And this is the reason why, and we ended here last Sunday. But the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. How do you know what truth is this morning? Do you really know what you believe? Yeah, I believe this. Why? Because the church teaches it. Shall we sing the song again? No creed or church will answer in that day. What's going to answer in the day of judgment? The word of God. That's what's going to be answered. That's what we're answerable to. It's the word of God. It's what the life that Jesus called us to live. It's what the scripture says. But if we're not studying the scripture, can we be guilty of going along in a traditional lifestyle but not really knowing why we believe that? Do you have an answer to give? If someone says, what do you believe about sin? Well, that's a bad thing. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, but what about it? Do you believe? Can the Lord forgive us of sin? This is what the religious world has done to a large extent, especially in America. They've taken a partial truth about the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. The blood of Jesus covers all sin. Is that a truth this morning? Okay, that's a truth. I believe that. But what they've done with that truth is, oh, brother, the blood of Jesus covers. And people go on in their sin. Oh, thank the Lord for the grace that covers me in my sin. Is not that where the world has gone with that? The religious world? And I don't ever want to undermine the power of grace. But I find that the blood of Jesus and the power of grace is greater than what the world is doing. There is power in the blood of Jesus to elevate me from my sin, that I can walk in newness of life. And yet the chapels today, they're even struggling. They're not as full as they used to be. But in churches today professing Christ, there are many messages being taught today from pulpits that are saying there is power in the blood of Jesus and it covers your sin. And we say, oh, thank the Lord for that. Amen. But what they're not saying, and sometimes they actually go ahead and say it, is when you sin, you are covered by the blood of Jesus. There's not a call to come out of sin. There's not a call for a life change because I'm saying the blood of Jesus covers sin. It's a partial truth. It does cover sin, but it's powerful enough to change my life. That Jesus said to the adulterous woman, go and what? Sin no more. He didn't say, you've been covered by my blood and by my grace. And every time you commit adultery, thank the Lord for the umbrella of grace that's over me. That's what probably 95% of the Christian churches are teaching in this country today. There is a power in the blood of Jesus to change our lives. Partial truth keeps people in deception. People say, but they're good people. And when I say the church down the road, that's illustrative. I am not trying to speak specifically, but I'm going to speak of any church that does this. If you take a partial truth, that is more damaging to the cause of Christ than not preaching it at all. You know why? Because if every false prophet would shut their mouth, the only ones that would be left would be those that were preaching truth. And the world would hear truth. But people are getting mixed up. It is really hard to live a life. Are people getting saved in listening to false teaching? Absolutely. Because the part of the truth that's there, when they open their heart, they can be saved in that. But it's really hard to maintain a life of victory when you start believing that the blood of Jesus will cover me as I continue in my sin. It's really hard to be elevated to be more like Christ. Our world is full of, there are a lot of ministries that are very capable this morning. There are ministries that they're charismatic and they're educated and they're entertaining and they're eloquent and they know how to bring things out that you go and listen. And it's like, well, that was really good. I was really moved. But my question is, are they preaching the whole truth? One of the biggest ministries in the United States today, and without naming names, all you have to do is go to Mardell, and their books are all over, and their pictures all over. I heard them say, and I heard it with my own ears, I heard them say, or it was in their writing, I heard them make the comment and say that someone asked them about some of the sinful behaviors in our world. And they said, that's not my call. That's not my job. And they're preaching a message of health, wealth, and prosperity. If you serve the Lord, you will get the promotion. If you will serve the Lord, I need to be careful because I'll start talking like they talk. There will be this peace that will start. You will have the peace and the joy and the victory of the Lord and the grace of the Holy Spirit. It's like it sounds really good. And people are drawn to that, and yet they will say, I can't condemn homosexuality and adultery and fornication because I might lose my audience of thousands. That's not my job. My job is just to talk about the blessings of God. Folks, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but without the cross, there is no resurrection. And so then what false prophets will do is, yes, we preach the cross of Jesus. Then let's go a step further into the scripture. It's not only the cross of Jesus, it's your cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. I do not read in the scripture where the saints of God are always going to get all the temporal blessings. I find suffering. I find tears. I find heartache. But I find victory in Jesus Christ. There is a cross. And just because people are being drawn to it does not mean it's the whole truth. It's more damaging and more deceptive, the partial truth is, than someone that's just saying there is no God. And you say, but Brother Michael, isn't that a little harsh? You're saying that a lot of these preachers they're really good people. I mean, I've gone to churches with these, and they're nice people. I'm not talking about them being nice or not. We're talking about the truth this morning. You understand that applies to us. People can say, we all are really nice people. Nice doesn't get us to heaven. Okay? Outreach programs, Sunday school programs, entertainment, having lots of the youth group, and they're doing lots of stuff. Folks, that's not going to get us to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. It's not the puppet show at Sunday school that's going to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we could say, but look at all the programs. What are they teaching? Nothing's wrong with Sunday school programs sometimes. Nothing's wrong with different things. We need to have more outreach of the people of God. I don't believe the Lord is pleased with us sitting here and saying, well, I have the truth, and then we're just closing our doors and we're just going to wait till the Lord comes back. What are you doing with the truth you have? Get out and share it. Get out and share the truth that you have. But folks, I want to warn us this morning. There is an ecumenical spirit that we're all God's children and we're all headed there and we all have different ways maybe, but that's not what I read in the Bible. I believe that there is one way and there it is a narrow way. And the Lord is not giving those that call themselves Church of God a group pass at the judgment. You want me to repeat that? If we say I'm Church of God, he's not giving us a group pass at the judgment. We will be weighed individually by how we have lived our lives based on the truth that he has given us. So in school, I always like to know what was going to be on the test. Some of y'all can relate with that. So I always liked it when the teacher said, okay, tomorrow's the test, and you need to know this, 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 and this. And it's like, okay, I know what to go home, study, be sure I know what's going to be on the test. Well, we need to know this morning, and I feel like too many people, I feel like too many people among the saints are getting lazy and aren't studying and are going off of what Grandpa and Grandma did, and then the young people ask questions, and too many adults and even some ministers, well, I don't really know, or are giving answers that are not solid. Folks, we better know why we believe, and it better go beyond your grandma. It better go beyond my grandpa. It better go beyond this is the way the church has always done it. Oh, really? I've got caught on that one. I was 23 years old pastoring, and an older man wanted me to approve of something in his life, and I couldn't do it. I said, if God approves of it, you don't need my stamp. You don't need my approval if the Lord's pleased with it. And I made the mistake when he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. I made the mistake of, you know what, brother? I said that this has always been taught in the church, and he called me out on it and pointed out where I was wrong, and I learned something about the Reformation truth that was a little bit different in some areas than what we people think today. What's our foundation? It's going to have to be the Word of God. Used to, people were more willing to accept, this is what you need to do. Okay, I'll do it. This is what's right. Okay, I'll do it. We live in a very questioning age. And those questions are getting people in trouble. That's true. But folks, as a people, we need to be on a strong foundation of truth. And it's going to take us studying and seeking God to be more like him that we would have an answer. And if we don't know the answer, don't fake it till you make it. You've heard that expression? Don't make it up. If you don't know the answer, just say, you know, I really don't know the answer to that. But don't say, well, this is just what you need to do. Why? That doesn't mean you can ask me and I'll give you an answer. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with me, but I want to have an answer that's based on the whole truth and not just a partial truth. Lord, help us today, because this is what we're going to be judged by. This is what we're going to be judged by. Someone's not going to go and pull out a history book other than the Scripture at the day of judgment. Yes, but this was my experience. Are we going to be judged by our experiences? When you get to heaven, you say, but Lord, I didn't do that because Brother Michael had an experience. It's like, no, I'm not judging you based on Brother Michael's experience. I'm judging you based on the Word of God. The messages, this series of messages, I'm just being very open here, is not meant to be throwing stones or judgmental in any way. I want to stir up our minds to encourage us, get in the Word of God. Know what the foundation of truth is. And so at a school, when there's a test given and you get 5 out of 10 right, do you know what that percent comes to? You got a 50%. And what letter grade goes on a test if you get 50%? You get an F. You failed. And then you can argue with the teacher, but I got half of them right. But you failed. Oh, the judgment, folks, is going to be a serious thing. But Lord, my doctrine of baptism was right. We believed in full immersion baptism. But did you love your neighbor as yourself? But Lord, we dress modestly. Did you forgive your brother that trespassed against you? But Lord, I didn't ever bring a TV in my home. I took a strong stand against it. But how did you treat people and talk to people at work? But Lord, I... F. we're going to be judged on the whole truth. And we can have our security blankets. There are certain issues, and I know I mentioned this, I think, at Monarch one time, but there are certain issues that people can sit there and not say anything. Very little verbal affirmation of the preacher. And there are certain subjects you can get on, you can get an amen out of the deep freeze because you got on their security blanket. There will some people that won't say anything, and you get on modesty. Yeah, that was a wonderful message. But you talk about forgiveness, and they're just sitting there not responding. Because their security blanket is like, don't mess with my blanket. Folks, we're going to be judged on the whole truth. I want to preach on modesty. I want to preach on forgiveness. I want to preach on having the Spirit of Christ. I want to preach about having love in your heart for your brothers. I want to teach about loving God above everything else. I want to be able to preach about the infilling of the Holy Spirit and how He empowers us. I don't want to take part of it because it's the whole truth working together that brings about freedom and deliverance. It's our roadmap. And if you leave one turn off of your directions, you can follow, you can travel 2,000 miles across the country and be within a mile and get lost of your destination. Because I took one wrong turn, you're still not there. You still didn't get to your destination. You're still lost. You are almost there, but not close enough. Folks, I don't want that to be said about my life. I don't want it to be said about yours. So we need to get in the truth and say, Lord, help me to have a heart for the whole truth. What truth do you want to hear about this morning? What truth could I preach to you that would make you happy and go home and say, that was really good? What truth do you want to hear? My job is not to make you comfortable. And it's what false prophets are doing today, is wanting to make people comfortable. Come as you are. I say come as you are, but I want to say leave different. Come as you are, leave as you are. That's what happens with false. Jesus loves you. Go on home the same way, knowing Jesus loves you. No, I want you to know Jesus loves you, and His love can change you if you will open up your heart to Him. But we live in a time of so many false prophets, so what are we going to do with this truth that we know this morning? This mystery of salvation, in the New Testament, you will find it recorded to as the mystery. It's talking about salvation because this mystery of salvation has been revealed to us by Jesus Christ. It was veiled in the Old Testament. It was veiled. It was spoken of by the prophets, but the glory was yet unrevealed. And then we see the truth. We have beheld the glory of the only begotten Son. We've seen His glory. You see, we've seen the foundation of truth of how God wants us to live. And it's contained in the Scripture. It tells us how to live our lives. So the foundation of truth, the way that we are to live our lives acceptably, it was manifested by Christ. It was taught in the Scripture, and it is made alive personally to us by the Holy Spirit. I need all of those things. You know the challenge of this series? I'm trying to cover in 30 minutes what it really takes 50 minutes. So we may just end up having the whole truth part two. I'm going to conclude here this morning. Lord, help us to have a heart for the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Examine your lives. Examine why you do what you do. Examine your teaching. Be as the Bereans and search it out. Measure it. When you just go and get the books, and be very careful, you can go on all the seminars and be moved and go back to your sin. You can go get all the books you want at Mardell's, but are you hearing the whole truth? Are you hearing the whole truth? Because my heart is heavy that there is so much false doctrine. You measure this morning everything I preach by truth. Measure it by the Word of God. And if I preach something to you that is not founded on the Scripture, please come tell me. My way will not get you to heaven this morning, but there is a truth that will, through Jesus Christ, through the inspired Scripture, and through the life-giving influence of the Holy Spirit. And I am so thankful that we were not left without a GPS We were not left to our own devices, to creeds of men, but he has given us the scripture and his word to get us home safely to heaven. Amen.